Well, good morning, everyone. If you would, get your Bibles out with me here in a little bit. It won't be right at the beginning, but I'll be in Psalm chapter 145 if you'd like to read that passage with me. It's one of the longer passages. All of the scripture there, of course, will be with me on the PowerPoint. Let's have prayer for God's Word. Father God, we're in this house today, God, and we are so grateful because your presence, undoubtedly, Father, Lord, is just very rich in this place. And I know that from the time that we walked through these doors, God, that, Father, you began to stir our hearts. I know the Holy Spirit is stirring people today. The worship, Father, Lord, it's already, God, been pouring into us. You're speaking into us through the songs, through the worship, the prayers that have been prayed, and just getting us to this moment, Father, Lord. I have no doubt that, Father, the word that I'm about to give, your word, is a word that, Father, Lord, God, that's going to change some lives here today for the better. So I pray for every heart, every mind, God, to be incredibly open. I pray that, Father, Lord, God, they will accept the invitation that you are given to them, Father, Lord, for you to be able to minister to their lives today. God, we thank you, we love you, we praise you in every way. You're so good. In your name, amen. Well, church, there is just a really strong presence in here today. It began as we came in this place early this morning. I can tell you in the first service, God was moving and God was stirring and he was speaking to people's lives. And without question, I know that he's captivated your hearts, he's captivated your minds, and I know that he wants to do something special. I know today there are individuals that, man, you're just waiting for God to do something big, and God's going to do it today if you'll just allow him to do so. I know, though, he wants to minister to every single one of our lives here today. If you would, I'm going to speak on a message today that I've entitled Drawing Near. Drawing Near. I want to share this message, and it kind of just continues to go along with all the messages we've been preaching here recently, and that is we're just hungering and expecting God to do something pretty amazing here in our church as we just continue to seek Jesus. The heart of these messages is just for us to be able to reflect what we truly believe, that if we will humble ourselves, if we will seek his face, if we will pray, if we'll turn our attention to him, we know that God hears that, God honors that, and God will pour out his spirit upon this place. And how many are ready for that? Amen. We are so ready, and let's not wait any longer, right? Let's just go ahead and let him do it today, amen? Amen. I believe today is a day of salvation. Today is a day to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Today is a day to be restored. Today is a day for that flickering flame inside of you to be reignited into a contagious flame. Today is a day just to allow God to do what God needs to do inside of us, amen? So God, whatever that would be, God, just have your way. I would just say to you this morning, why wait any longer? We don't want to just sing about it. We don't want to just talk about it. We don't want to just preach about it. We want to experience what God wants to do in our lives. So drawing near. Drawing near is about the unique and loving relationship between the Lord and his people and how the spiritual proximity of the fellowship with one another is of the utmost significance. For the first portion of this message, let me talk a little bit about the Lord's presence being near to us. Church, Scripture clearly reveals God's desire about being close to his people. Constantly, you will see him wanting to be near to his creation, to his most prized possession, to you and I. We can go to the very beginning, and you can go to Genesis, and then just in the first few chapters, chapter 3, we see the creation of mankind. They were placed in the garden, and there in that Garden of Eden, it says that God walked among them. God wanted to commune, and God wanted to fellowship with them. It was a beautiful picture that has been painted for us in that early book of the Bible. But as we go all the way to the very end of Revelation and we see that John, he has the vision on the Isle of Patmos and he has a vision of heaven. He has a vision of the new heavens and the new earth and the new city of Jerusalem coming down. And as he has this vision, he writes this, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them and they will be his people and God himself will be with them as their God." So from beginning to end, you see the heart of God, and that is to be close, to dwell, to have fellowship, to have relationship with every single one of us who would call upon his most glorious name. Now, as we go through the scripture, story after story, passage after passage, moment after moment, you will see God's presence is always close at hand. We can read of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses and Joshua. We can go in those first books of the Bible and all those epic stories. We'll be there in Genesis and in Exodus and Deuteronomy and in Joshua. We see how their stories unfold. And what we will see many times over is the phrase, I will be with you. Sometimes it is given even more emphatically as it is written as such. I will be with you and I will be with you always. Powerful, powerful stories. These individuals couldn't have done what they did without God's presence being with them. Amen. As you turn on over into the New Testament, you see that Jesus is getting ready to ascend back into the heavens after the cross, after the resurrection. And he speaks to his disciples. He speaks to the onlookers. And he gives them this great commission as you know it. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. He's talking about the authority that's been given to him. And then he says in verse 19, go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, as you take on this incredible mission, as you take on this ministry in which I am giving to you, as you take on what I have spoken into your lives, the scripture says in verse 20, I am with you always, always to the end of the age. Now, as we continue to read in the Gospels, and we see that when the promise of the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit was given, it took the proximity of our relationship with the Lord to a whole new level. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit had to come upon the individuals as they did these mighty, these acts of God in which he was doing in and through their lives. In the New Testament, what do we have? We have the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit, God himself living inside of us. Amen. That promise was given in John chapter 14. Jesus speaking, he says, you know him, for he dwells with you, and he will be in you. And then we go over to chapter 20, verse 22, and he breathed upon them, and they received that abiding presence of the Holy Spirit. Then you go over into Romans, and you see Paul, he's speaking to the Christians in Rome, and he is telling them, hey, no longer are you controlled by your sinful nature. No longer do you have to be controlled by a spirit of fear, but you have the Spirit of God that is dwelling inside of your life. So walk in such a manner, live in such a manner, follow what God is doing inside of you as his presence lives within. Then Paul, he's speaking in Corinthians, in the first letter to that church, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 16, he says, do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit, it dwells within you? Church, that's a pretty awesome thought when you think about it. There is no doubt, there is no doubt that the Spirit of the Lord abides in the heart of everyone here this morning who's called upon Jesus Christ to be their Lord and Savior. His presence is there. Now, through Christ, as we continue this thought, the access that you and I are given to the very throne room of God, it is undeniably overwhelming and extraordinary in every way. I want you to think about a couple of passages here. We find them in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 18. Think about this. It says, on the one hand, the former commandment, talking about the Old Testament law, is set aside because of its weakness and uselessness in the sense of making us right, making us perfect, as we could not follow that. But it says, but on the other hand, a better hope is introduced through which we draw near to God. Who is the better hope? The better hope is Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. And because of the presence of the Holy Spirit within them, we can draw near to God in a powerful way. You turn on over into Hebrews chapter number 10, verse 19. It says, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, verse 22 says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Can you think about that for a moment? Through Christ, God has cleared the way for us to know him, to call upon him in a very personal manner, to be in his very presence, to draw near to his throne, to worship at his feet, to present our request to him, and to receive all that he has for us in our lives. Let that sink in. As you were worshiping this morning, as you were calling upon the name of Jesus, as you have joined together in these prayers just aren't going anywhere. They are going to the very throne room of God. Your worship is going to the very throne room of God. Is he near with us today? Absolutely, he is near. And that relationship we have with him, it is unique and powerful in every single way. Amen? You think about it. Let it sink in for a moment. I don't know about you, but when I read scriptures such as these, it just makes me want to stop slow down, and just sit at his feet for a while. When I begin to understand that's the relationship that I have with him, it changes everything. It changes my daily perspective. It changes the perspective on my family. It changes the perspective on all the circumstances that I have to face daily in this old world. It changes my eternal perspective. When I can let it sink inside of my heart that I'm right with God and God's presence is right there with me and I'm in his very throne room with him through the power of the Holy Spirit. Wow, that's an amazing thing that's taken place. It changes everything. What I do know when I read about scriptures such as these this morning, church, without doubt, no matter your story, no matter how many times you've heard the phrase that I'm about to utter, I need to let you know this morning that God knows where you're at and God cares about you. He knows your story better than yourself. He knows your journey better than you will ever know it. He knows your every desire, your every motion, your every battle, your every battle within. He knows your doubts that you have at times. He knows your cares. He knows your anxieties. He knows your fears, your worries. He knows everything going on inside of you. He knows everything about you, and he cares for you. He knows where you're at today, and I'm not just talking about in the house of God. He knows where you're at in this season of life. He knows where you're at more than anybody else in here. There are many of you at a place that most of us have no idea what's going on behind the scenes. And can I tell you, even though you may feel alone sometimes, and even though you may feel overwhelmed at times, and even though you may be even hurting on the inside, God knows where you're at, and he wants to minister to your life here today. I have no doubt about that. He desires to pour in his Holy Spirit into our lives, his goodness, his love, his strength, his grace. He wants to empower us. And again, no matter what fight we're in, no matter what overwhelming emotions we may have, and maybe we're here and we don't even have any emotion at all. We're just really not feeling anything. Maybe we're just here. Can I tell you, God wants to give a wake-up call inside of you, and he wants to speak into your life. I know God cares about us, and I know that his presence is near. And I know, we know that, and you're going to see these in these scriptures. We know he lives inside of us, but what I really want you to see is just how he desires so much to be with us through every moment of life. The promise of God's word consistently reminds us that you and I are not alone. I'm going to take you to some passages here just for the next few moments, some scriptures that many of you know well by heart. They speak of God's nearness to you and I. Isaiah 41:10. He says, I'm with you. Fear not, I'm with you. Don't be dismayed this morning. I'm your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. You go on over to chapter 43 of that same book, and you just look in those first few verses. It says, fear not, for I've redeemed you. I've called you by name. Every single person in Coweta Assembly of God Church here today, he has called you by name, and you are his, is what the scripture says. When you pass through those waters, what's the word say? I'll be with you. Through the rivers, they're not going to overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned, and the flame, it will not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. You get into Psalms 46. Psalms 46, just in verse 1. He is our refuge. God is our refuge and our strength. And I love the way this is written. He is a very present help in trouble. Think about that. He is always very present in our lives. Even when we are not thinking about him, he's thinking about us. Even when we feel distant, he is very present. In those moments where it's very difficult and challenging, he's very present. When you're hurting and you feel like you're just about ready perhaps to just give it all up or throw in the towel, he is very present. When you don't feel anything at all, he is very present. In the darkness of the night when you can't sleep and you're waking up and you don't know what it is that's keeping you up at night, he is very present. He is very present in the joyful times, in the difficult times, in every season of your life. Church, you need to know this morning that he wants to do something inside of you and he's trying to speak to you and he say, I am always present among you. Psalm 34, 17, 18, another great one. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears, he delivers them out of their troubles, all their troubles, and he is near. He's near to the brokenhearted, and he saves the crushed in spirit. I don't know why these particular verses I'm using. Well, I do know why. It's a leading to the Holy Spirit. But God is speaking directly into some individual lives that are crushed in your spirit. These verses have been prepared for you today. Amen. He's ministering to you. Psalm 23, powerful, powerful. Verse number 4 says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why can I say that so boldly and confidently and courageously? Because you are with me. You go to Psalms 139, and this is perhaps for the one that's maybe running in the opposite direction and what God wants you to run in. Maybe you're trying to distance yourself. Maybe you're a little bit, you know, uneasy about what he's asking of you. Maybe you're a little bit uneasy about just kind of where you're at in life. You read Psalms 139, and it tells us no matter what we try to do, he's always going to be nearby. It says, where shall I go from your spirit? Where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in the grave in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand, it will lead me, and your right hand, it shall hold me. Think about that. Even that kind of, because that gives us a kind of the Jonah picture where you're kind of running in that totally opposite direction and really what God wants you to do. But even when you're in the belly of a well and the depths of the ocean, his presence is near because he desires to do something awesome in and through your life. Amen. Zephaniah, love this one. Haven't been here in a while. This is just a great one to read over often. As the prophet writes to the people, he says, the Lord your God is in your midst. A mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love, and he will exult over you with loud singing. Every time I go to this passage, I just think about how awesome that is about what the scripture is saying. And here's what I put in my mind personally. As we were worshiping this morning, and as we were singing about our glorious and our mighty God, and as we were singing about his love and how he wants to pour into our lives, and as we were worshiping him, as we're singing, that worship is going into the very throne room of heaven. But as we're singing, what is he doing? This scripture kind of gives us the idea he's receiving that, but he's singing over us. So as we're singing to him and singing about him and singing about all his glory, he's singing over his church. He's singing over his people, and he is grateful, and he delights in who we are as we worship him. Isn't that powerful? He rejoices over us. He is grateful for that relationship and that nearness about him. It's just, it's really overwhelming. And at times, it's kind of hard to fathom. When we read about such scriptures, and there are many more in his word. When we read such scriptures, we understand it really doesn't get any better than this. God is always near. His goodness, his power, his love, the presence of his Holy Spirit, he's with us. I want to take you just for a brief moment to Psalm 145. Psalm 145, and you're going to see something here in these first few verses. It really talks about the greatness and the goodness of God. Scripture says, I will extol, meaning to exalt, to worship, to praise. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Listen to this word. Every day I will bless you and praise your name. Forever and ever. Great is the Lord, greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous words, I will meditate. They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness. They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. Verse 8, the Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. He is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. All your works shall give thanks to you. O Lord, and your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom. They will tell of your power to make known to the children of man your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all his words, and he is kind in all of his works. The Lord, he upholds all who are falling, and he raises up all who are bowed down. And that means those who are bent down in spirit, those who are in a humble state of being. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand, you satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, and he is kind in all of his works. Now, just for a moment, I want you to see this. We read it very clearly. For those of you that maybe like me, you kind of think and list a little bit. For me personally, I see 10 things there that talks about the greatness of God. Look at him again there. He's gracious, merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, good, compassionate to all of us. His acts are mighty, filled with glory. His kingdom is everlasting. His authority endures throughout all generations. Look at the second half of those. He's faithful in every way. He upholds us when we are fallen. He raises us up when we are bent down low. He satisfies our every need and our desire. He is righteous in all that he does, and he is filled with kindness. Our God is a great God. Amen? Amen. And church, here's the awesome thought about all of this, the awesome truth about the matter, is that when we read such a passage, you and I, we experience that daily in our lives. Sometimes it may be just a few of those things. Sometimes it may be the whole chapter. But can I tell you, often throughout our lives, we will constantly experience the greatness of God as he continues just to draw near to every single one of us. Amen? It's a pretty awesome thought when you see the power of God. Does God care for you today? Does he care about what you're thinking? Does he care about what season you're in? Does he care about all the things that's happening in your life? You know the answer to that. Absolutely. Does he desire to be near and ever present in your life? Oh, you better believe it. Absolutely. Does he desire to minister to you today? Does he desire to minister to your soul, to your spirit, to pour into you? Does he desire to empower you, to equip you? Does he desire to do that? Without question, he wants to do that. God desires that relationship. God desires that nearness. God desires that we're in his presence. God wants to commune with us. And that's why he gave us the power of the Holy Spirit to live within, because he wants to commune with us. That's why he empowered us with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because he wants us to move boldly and courageously in the ministry and the purpose that he has planned for all of our lives. Does he want to be near to us? Absolutely, he wants to be near. When you look at this passage, basically, I don't know what the exact percentage is, but I'll break it down like this. The 90% of this passage is all about God's greatness and how he's near to us. But how many of you know that in a relationship, and even in a relationship with God, it shouldn't be one-sided? Right? We just can't show up and expect God to do all the work, even though God seems like he does most of the work in our lives, right? I mean, he definitely pulls his own weight. He definitely takes care of us. But can I tell you, in a relationship with God, it's more than just what God's doing. It's also how we receive it and how you and I respond. There is a word that's been spoken over this church over and over these last few weeks, and it's up to you and I how we're going to receive it and how we're going to respond to it. When you get into these beautiful small groups and you begin to talk about God's word and you break it down even further, can I tell you, God is speaking a word into your life, and it's up to you to receive what he's wanting to do, and it's up for you to respond with obedience to what God is calling, what God is asking of you. What I love about this particular psalm is the first 90% of it's all about God's greatness and all the mighty acts and all that he does for us. Then you get in those last few verses, just those last few verses, and it talks about our side of the relationship. It says, the Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who will call upon him in truth. That's a big statement. Genuineness, authenticity. Your mind and your heart in the right place. He fulfills the desire of those who fear him, and he also hears their cry and he saves them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked, yes, they'll be destroyed. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. Well, you can see there who God is near to, who his presence really. Now, God is near to all creation. But that relationship of communion, where is it? You see it right there. You saw the outline. To those who call upon him in truth. To those who demonstrate a holy reverence, a fear, a respect before God. And for those who will love him with every part of their being. So when I read just those few verses, what I see there is that when we come before God in a genuine manner, with every emotion, with an open heart, with just a very transparent life, and when we call upon him, you better believe he's near. He's very present, the scripture's already told us, and he's ready to move. He's ready to minister. He was just waiting for us to make that move as well. You see, the greatness of God, it's expansive throughout all the earth, church. The glorious splendor of his presence, it can be seen in creation itself every single day. I love the outdoors. I love being out in nature. I love looking at the trees and the flowers and the mountains and the waters and all that. You can probably tell by my PowerPoints and all that recently. I just love being outdoors. If I could put my desk outside, I would put it outside. Matter of fact, most Sunday morning messages are prepared on my front porch, sitting behind my Japanese maple, all shaded and just writing it out. I love being outdoors. And it just screams God's creative mind, his creative spirit, his beauty, and his majesty. You see, every day he does that. His love for humanity, it is proven through Jesus Christ. And we see through scripture, he desires to be near to all, and he's always going to hold up his part of the relationship. Can I tell you, church, when we think about God being near to us, he doesn't have to do anything else to prove himself. He doesn't have to do anything else to prove his worth, to prove his love, to prove his might. He doesn't have to do anything else to prove that he wants to pour out his spirit upon his people. He doesn't have to do anything, say anything, write anything, create anything. He doesn't have to do anything himself. God, multiple times over, and continues to do so daily, he has proven himself to us that he desires to be our God, to be in fellowship with us, and to move through our lives in a powerful way. Amen. So if we're sitting back, God do it, God do it, God do it. Can I tell you, God doesn't have to do anything else to prove that he can wake up the church. He doesn't have to do anything else to prove that he can save. He doesn't have to do anything else to prove that he can put the Holy Spirit inside of your life. God hasn't to do, I mean, sometimes I think we're sitting back, okay, God, prove it again. He doesn't have to prove himself anymore. His side of the relationship is a done deal. You hear my heart this morning? We come back to this part. The question is, now, he doesn't have to do anything else, but here's what I love about him and his mercy and his grace. Every day, he just keeps doing it. He just keeps doing it. The question is this morning, as we get ready to go back into just worship and prayer and what God wants to do, and you need to hear this question, and you need to answer it to yourself. Are we drawing near to him? Are we drawing near to that presence that's been placed inside of us? Are we being obedient by drawing near and listening to that still small voice? Are we being obedient and drawing near to him and allowing him to put back together a broken heart? Are we being sensitive and drawing near to our Lord and our Savior? Do we draw near to him in truthfulness, in humility? Do we draw near to him in just an authentic way? The word humility just keeps coming up in my prayers over these last few weeks. I just believe the Lord is speaking that over this church. And you just got to receive it. I'm going to give it, okay? Because I think I'm around a bunch of humble people. But the Lord is just keeps speaking that word to me. And I don't know why, and maybe you do, and maybe this morning it's starting to hit with you because you're like, at first you're like, I don't want to hear the word humility anymore, but you need to hear the word humility because God is tearing some things down inside of us. He needs to tear some things down inside of us. How many know at times, boy, we just get a little bit calloused, we get a little bit cold, we get a little bit hard, and we don't even like to use those words because those are worldly words, those are not church words, those are not Christian words. But how many know as believers, we can just get a little numb inside and all that needs to be ripped away, and that's where that humility comes in, amen? How many know some of us are here, but we're not always listening? Some of us are here, but we're thinking about lunch. Some of us are here, but we're thinking about what song we like and what we don't like. Some of us are here, but we're thinking about what the other person is doing on the other side of the church. We're here, but we're really not focused on what God wants us to focus on. That's where humility comes in and says, whoa, wait a minute. I need to get my mind in the right place because God just may be speaking to my life today. Amen? Humility, so powerful. So are we drawing near to him in such a way? This morning I had a word spoken to me by an individual who was talking about what the Lord had spoke to them. And as he was sharing that with me, I just received that as well, because on my way here, I had the same word that was being spoken into my life and not even realizing it at times. Just, I know myself, Michelle, our pastors, man, I love our pastors. We have the best pastoral team in all the universe. I believe that, man, I'm telling you. Awesome. And I'm just now getting to know him. So what am I going to say about him in a few weeks? All right. But I love these guys. I love their heart. Love their heart and the atmosphere that they have brought here during the week. And I know you can feel it here in church as well. I know they're hungry. I know our deacons are hungry, our ministry leaders, those that pray with us weekly, daily. I know there's a hunger there. And so with not even realizing it at times, how many of you know that maybe we're right there with God, but then all of a sudden we start pushing too hard? Not meaning it, not in a rebellious way at all, not trying to do anything wrong at all, but we fall into that category of like, boy, if I just try harder, if I just give it more, if I just do this, and if I just do that, how many know that's not going to cut it? Because it's not anything that I can do, but it's by God and his power and his presence in the Holy Spirit. If I will just show up and be obedient and do what he wants me to do, God will do what he wants to do. Amen. So it's not how much you and I can push for something. It's about us just saying, okay, God, we're going to walk in obedience. We're going to allow you to work inside of us. We're going to humble ourselves. We're going to seek you. We're going to pray. We're going to put our attention from you. Yes, we're going to turn away from those things that are trying to take our minds off of you. We're going to seek you. And as we just seek the Lord, as we just seek Jesus, he's going to do something pretty amazing every single time. I would say to you again, are you drawing near to him? Are you staying true to your part of the relationship? Maybe you need to hear once again that statement made by James. James made this, remember, I think I referenced it a couple weeks ago. In James chapter 4, he's speaking to a church that desperately needed an awakening, that desperately needed change, that desperately needed to have the Spirit within them churned in a powerful way. And he writes to them in James 4:8, draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. So this morning I'd ask you, are you drawing near to God and you allowing him to really draw near to you? One more verse, I wasn't sure I'd use or not, but I think it's good and fitting. I didn't use it in the first service, I'll use it here. Psalm 73:28 says, but for me it is good to be near to God. I have made the Lord my God my refuge, that I may tell of all of your wonderful, wonderful works. It is good for us to be near to God. Amen.